This is great work by the Bureau as well, so thank you. Okay, let's move on to Bureau of Environmental Services with item 484.
Revise sewer and stormwater rates, charges, and fees in accordance with the fiscal year 2014-2015 sewer user rate study.
Mr. Fish.
Director Marriott.
Thank you, Mayor Hales, members of the council, Dean Marriott, Environmental Services. With me is Jim Hagerman, our business services manager for BES. And we have a very few slides to walk you through, and I will talk about them quickly. The proposed rates will fund actually two utilities, the wastewater and the stormwater utility, and provide operating and maintenance funds to manage the more than $14 billion of assets that we run on behalf of our ratepayers. As you know, we have two wastewater treatment plants. We have 2,500 miles of pipes below city streets. We have 96 active pumping stations, and we have over now 1,500 Green Street facilities in Portland that we manage. We're also the lead department in city government coordinating the Endangered Species Act compliance and the Portland Harbor Superfund response. So our operating programs have essentially remained flat, putting little or no upward pressure on rates. We're making reductions to this year's operating budget, just as we have for the last 4 years. The experience, some of the cuts you see summarized here on this slide are a result of our experience operating the combined sewer overflow abatement program. We're able to cut our utility usage, which is good news. We're coming out of the planning cycle for some of our facilities like the Tryon Creek treatment plant, so we're able to reduce the cost of facility planning, and we're able to cut back on some of our contracting work as well. The biggest driver for rates is the capital program. Post combined sewer overflow abatement, maintenance and reliability drives two-thirds of the capital budget for us. And let me just give you an example. If you were in town on Sunday, you experienced quite a rain event. We had 1 inch of rain in 7 hours, but for a period of 30 minutes, depending on where you were in Portland, you experienced what we call a 25-year storm. It rained, and it rained really hard, at least where I was. So how did the system fare during that? That really puts a stormwater and sewer collection system under a lot of pressure. So the CSO collection system, the tunnels, and all worked perfect. There were no discharge of sewage to the river. So we can be happy that our investment is paying dividends there. The treatment plant went from a typical flow of about 80 million gallons a day to over 460 million gallons on Sunday. So it was pushed to the limit of its ability to treat wastewater without discharging to the Columbia. And it worked. But we had 40 reports of sewage backing up into people's basements. And our experience is if we get 40 reports, there probably were more. So let me just point out to you that we didn't get any reports from neighborhoods in which we've done our sewer rehab and rehabilitation work. The reports came in from places we haven't gotten to yet. So it sort of underscores what's next for us is this investment in our older infrastructure, making sure that it is up to date and modern, and that we're not putting sewage in people's basements. So the revenue requirements necessary from rates for the coming year are shown on this slide. More than half of the revenue requirements are to provide for debt service, which is a legacy of the successfully completed combined sewer overflow projects. The operations are not a significant source of rate pressure. Rates, again, are primarily capital-driven. So let's talk about the proposed rates themselves. This slide deals with residential. And again, I mentioned we have two utilities here, the wastewater and the stormwater. So you can see them split out here. The sanitary sewer costs, that's the wastewater part of the business, $38.79 a month. The stormwater charge is listed here, $24.86. There's a small Portland Harbor line item on the bill, 41 cents a month. And the low-income assistance program costs typical ratepayers about $1.19 a month. I wanted to call that out because the low-income assistance program is really important for 8,900 Portland families that have signed up for this program. Qualifying families need 60% or less of median income, and they qualify through the county. And when the county says they qualify, we process them as low-income assistance. It provides a $29.19 a month credit. So it reduces a typical residential sewer and stormwater charge from $65 to about $36 a month. So it's very meaningful for the families that are affected by it.
Director Marriott?
Yes.
That sounds like a rather low number of families participating in the program. Do you think that there's a lot of folks that just don't know about it?
Well, I think the experience, and really we should get the folks from the county in here who process the applications and so forth, is my suspicion is they would tell you it's much like other assistance programs, is that not everybody wants to apply for it.
Let me just jump in on this.
Yes.
Commissioner Novick, I think that's a great question. What we will do is check with our county partners to find out, based on their categories of poverty and who's eligible for certain programs they offer, we'll see if we can cross-tab that with who we serve and find out if there are customers who either don't know about this or if there's a barrier. Mm-hmm. And I would hope there's no barrier around language or paperwork, but that could be a barrier for, like, an older adult in their home. So it's a splendid suggestion, and we'll take a look at it and report back to the council if we see a gap. And if there is a gap, we'll take a look at ways we might be able to get sign up more people who are eligible and would benefit from this program. So I appreciate the question.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Is it available to multifamily dwelling residents or just single family?
It's just single family.
Thank you.
So the next slide is deals with commercial industrial rates, and just you can see for yourself here the effects of the proposed increase. We've talked about the typical residential customer will face a 4% rate increase this year, and this shows you that the components for instance, sanitary volume for commercial industrial will be up 4.3%. Stormwater up 1.9, industrial biochemical oxygen demand and suspended solids 3.5, Superfund is being reduced. So again, each one of the individual line items will vary, but still staying within the 4% target range. Other charges, SDC's sanitary system development charges increase about 5%. Stormwater systems development charges increase about 4%. Plan check land use review fees will average about 5%, which is still only about 50% cost recovery. Everybody's always interested in comparing us to everybody else in the country. This chart, I think, is a rather simplified version for you can see how we stack up. I do have for you some late news from some of the cities on this chart. As I said, our residential customer, it will face a bill increase of about 4%. So Washington, D.C. is adopting a 9.4% increase. Kansas City, almost 12%. Cincinnati, 6%. Seattle, 4.5%. So, we have demonstrated our commitment to clean up the Willamette and the Columbia Slough through the Combined Sewer Overflow Program. These other cities that I mentioned and others in the country are still working on their solutions. So it's an explanation for why they are going to be passing us on that chart soon. Here's a chart that shows you the trend, and it's really positive, I think. The trend has been drifting downward, and it will continue. You'll see us there at the 4% rate and then drifting into the 3% range. I should tell you that the National Association of Clean Water Agencies reports that for the next 5 years, the typical municipal wastewater stormwater charge will increase by 5% or more, and we're headed below 4. So the trend is very positive, I think. The final chart is just a comparison because there's a lot of interest in systems development charges and where we stack up in the region, and this shows even with proposed modest increases to our systems development charge, we're still very competitive in this region. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Sure, go ahead.
Mayor, if I could make a comment, thank you, Dean, for your excellent presentation. Three things. The first is, just to frame our discussion, the sewer stormwater piece of our typical residential customer is about two-thirds of their bill. And about 8 months ago, we made a change in the bill that we send our customers. It actually says combined water and sewer stormwater bill because there was a lot of confusion among our customers as to whether they were getting a water bill or something more than a water bill. Mm-hmm. So just to be clear, we use the rough approximation of a third for water and two-thirds for sewer stormwater on the typical residential customer's bill. Mm-hmm. The second is this is the second year that the rates that will go to the council for a vote are below, significantly below the forecast.
Yes.
And last year they came down about 50% from the forecast in the rate, Mayor Hales, that you recommended. This year the water is coming down about 50% from the forecast and sewer about 23% below mm-hmm. the forecast. In order to stabilize rates, though, we asked both bureaus to take some operating cuts. And this year when all other bureaus had a flat budget, water and sewer both took 2.5% operating cuts. Those were difficult cuts, and they're probably in the long term not sustainable to keep cutting on the operating side. But that's how sewer was able to go from a rate forecast above 5 to 4%. And when you combine that with water going from 14% to 7%, the combined rate is under 5%, which was the goal that the council set for this. So I just want to note that. And third, I was in Kenton attending the Kenton Street Fair on Sunday when the clouds, when a torrent hit, and probably the hardest rain I've ever seen. Mm. And unfortunately, there was an open-air tents. There were some tents and some open-air vendors, so it was the timing was awkward. Mm. There was a flood of water on the street in Kenton Main Street, and I had a bird's-eye view sitting in a pizza parlor of the water coming off the street into one of our bioswales. And it was like a river, a gusher coming in. And the good news I want to report is that the bioswell performed marvelously, somehow handled all that water, and it headed south. So the system worked.
Well, and Commissioner, that's what I meant when I said where we've done sewer rehab, where we've done Green Street, the Green Street elements and the green elements associated with the improvements to the sewer collection system, the reports of basement flooding are either zero or way down. So it is showing that the green elements are really producing the results that we had intended.
So I have a couple questions. Not so much in the fundamental rate base itself, but there are a couple of areas where the bureaus experienced enhanced revenues through other means, namely the fats, oils, and grease surcharge. And the assumption of stormwater responsibilities in the Columbia South Shore. Can you explain what that's doing in your revenue base and your cost of operation?
Right. Yeah, I'll take that. You'll see it reflected in the rates. If you look back at the rate table, let's see here, you'll see that the stormwater management charge is increasing by a much lower rate. Or at a much lower rate than the sanitary volume charge, and that is reflective of bringing on the drainage districts.
So we added a bunch of new ratepayers.
Right. Added impervious areas.
They were
system.
Paying the district. Now they're paying us.
Right. Right. Right.
So that in effect is flattening everybody else's rates.
Yes.
By having them pay our rates.
Yes. So it's we incorporate that into the forecast, so it doesn't increase our revenues. It simply lowers the unit rate because we're now billing for more units of impervious area. And you'll see this a similar effect on the extra strength side there, the BOD, biochemical oxygen demand and suspended solids at 3.5% increase relative to an approximate 4% increase. I think we've hit the greatest share of that market. And so you're seeing a similar effect, but it's attenuating a little bit this year, and it shouldn't be as pronounced in the following years. What has been the case is, on average, over the last 3 years, that has increased much more slowly than sanitary volume rates.
Okay, and what's happened on the cost side? Obviously, on the stormwater side, mm-hmm. not as much as the new revenue, because that's why we were able to flatten rates. What about on the fats, oils, and grease side? Are we doing more inspections? Are we doing more cleaning work? What are we doing with
the we are doing more inspections. We're enforcing the regulations a little more tightly, so we're keeping more BOD and TSS out of the system. I can ask our folks that. I can't answer the question how much cost we've avoided from keeping fats, oils, and greases out of the system. But the additional administrative cost is reflected in those rates, but it's more than offset by the higher number of units we're building.
Mayor, it's a great question. We have asked our folks to keep track of the call-outs for sewer blockages, and if they're caused by fats, oils, and grease, documenting where they are. And our hope over the next few years will be that they will diminish, which will
presumably we'll get less.
Yes, exactly.
It's supposed to be accomplishing something, and
that's
we think it is. But you know,
yes,
it would be nice to measure that.
Exactly, and our task is to measure that, because we want to do what Los Angeles and Dallas and other cities that have done similar work is that they have tracked a reduction in their blockages of their collection system.
Now, there was a lot of customer unhappiness when the fat, oil, and grease surcharge was adopted. What are you hearing now in terms of customer service calls? Are they declining, or are people still reacting strongly to that surcharge? What are you hearing?
That's a great question. We're still working our way through the inventory. There's still a few folks that have not yet been brought on, because our commitment was always we would not bring you on until you've had a visit from us and you've met our staff and we've walked around your facility with you. So we still have some to go. But overall, I think the reaction has been, now that they have been visited, they understand what's expected of them.
Mayor, I could add two comments on that one. I was out of Midway the other day for the raising of their banner, their new business banner, and there was a small business person who had some concern about the cost, but noted that someone from the Bureau had come and walked through all the discount programs.
Right.
And all. So I think one thing I believe is happening is we're getting better at communicating the program and the options.
Right.
We're still going to get pushback from people when they get a bill. And one other thing that has changed is our office has been working with the Bureau on a pilot basis, and one example is Starbucks had some concerns about the cost structure, and so rather than just deal with individual franchisees or individual stores, what we had is we had Starbucks come in at the corporate level and sit down with Jim Blackwood and others, lay out their concerns, and what we were able to do is address their concerns system-wide, and we actually then got a letter from the company saying that it was an unprecedented level of response from the city holistically to a set of problems. So
mm-hmm.
now, we obviously, most small businesses are not part of a national chain like that. But every time we do that, I hope what we're doing is learning how to do a better job communicating the program, making sure that discounts and other programs are available, and then working with the affected business so this doesn't become an undue financial burden.
And I want to just mention, Commissioner mentioned discounts. The discounts are to encourage behavior that is what we want to encourage. So they're, and when they figure that out, they realize, hey, I can cut my cost by installing this equipment, which benefits the collection system, which benefits all ratepayers. That's a win all the way around. So,
okay. Director and Commissioner, I've actually been hearing a lot recently about fats, oils, and grease in conversations with businesses about the street fee. And I'd had a briefing on the program, and I understood the spectacular level of customer outreach that you're doing. I think it might be interesting, if it's possible at some point, to be able to tell people, here's how much less residential homeowners are seeing on their bills because we have this program, both because you've got the restaurants picking up more of their share, but also over time the costs are actually diminishing because the restaurants are reducing their input into the system. So I don't know if that's feasible, but I think that would be ideal.
Take a look at that.
That's yes.
Cool.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you both.
Thank you.
So again, let's call up representatives of the Public Utilities Review Board and Bureau Advisory Committee, or both, for your comments.
We have some back members.
And then, I'll call up Cub next. So,
do we have back members here?
Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good afternoon again. My name is Gordon Feiner, and I did serve as a non-voting member of the Budget Advisory Committee as well. John did too.
Yes.
So we have recommendations on BES rates that were submitted in written testimony earlier. PERB recommends that the Mayor and City Council accept the 2014 proposed budget from the Bureau of Environmental Services. This proposed budget will lead to a rate increase in fiscal year 2014 of 4%. That's $2.51 a month for the average residential customer. Second recommendation is that members of the PERB BES committee attended the Budget Advisory Committee as non-voting members. Bureau staff presented thorough and substantial documentation for the committee to review and were quickly attentive to requests for additional information. While an improvement over past years, BES still seems to be presenting information to the BAC in a format that is less user-friendly than that provided by the Water Bureau. So the PERB BES committee members urge council to encourage BES staff to consult with Water Bureau staff to harmonize the two bureaus' approach to providing information to the BACs related to CIP projects. And this is not the first time we made this recommendation, and the gap seems to get smaller every year, but it's still not quite even in terms of the information that's available there. The third recommendation is that the nature of the BAC process only allows for input from the BAC on a minimal amount of the budget, namely add and drop packages. It's clear that the larger items that affect the bulk of the Bureau's budget are decided by the CIP process. While this approach certainly makes sense from a long-term planning perspective, the functionality of the BAC is largely one of reviewing expenses on the margin and not necessarily having an impact on the final rate adjustment. Per BES committee members request that discussions regarding the CIP consider the impact of rates in the CIP discussions, in CIP decisions. And we also have a recommendation that applies to both BES and the Water Bureau. I can give that now.
Sure, please. Okay.
That we would like to recommend that the Mayor and City Council consider changing the rate setting process to a longer than a one-year interval. Because the bureaus already have multi-year financial plans, this is not creating a new process. It is refining an existing one. We feel that a two-year process at minimum would provide a far greater level of comfort and stability in the rate setting process for customers, and a well-defined process would allow for minor adjustments as needed by the bureaus to continue operating at a high level.
Okay, thank you. Good suggestion.
So on both suggestions, on the how to make the BAC process more fruitful for participants and opening it up, your suggestions and some other suggestions we've received are very thoughtful, and we will be talking to you about ways to change the BAC process. Frankly, I'd like the BES BAC process to more mirror the Water Bureau BAC process. So you've given us some thoughtful suggestions, and we'll be talking about that. On the question of two-year rate setting, the one comment I would make on that, based on what I've learned now, you know, almost 1 year into my new assignment, is that each year we see pretty significant variations from forecast rates based on a whole myriad of factors, interest rates, labor costs, cost of living. There's all these variables which in turn have an impact on rates. And so I don't know quite, so the question I would have is, how do you do 2 years of rate making when you have year to year so many variables that mm-hmm. impact the actual adopted rate? I think it's a great idea in concept, mm-hmm. but I'm just less clear about how we would get there, but I think it's something for us to ponder. And perhaps it's something the Citizens Utility Board at some point could weigh in on. There may be a model we could draw upon where it's feasible.
Okay. Andrew Scott was taking careful notes of that thought, so the subject has come up.
Great. This was the first year since I've been on PERB that we had a couple of the members, myself and Mr. Baudrick from East Portland, switch backs. And it is a different, it was a change in culture. I'd been on the water back for 3 years, or been on the PERB subcommittee that attended the BAC meetings. And it is not a criticism of BES. I want you to understand they've got a lot bigger, more complex problem that they're dealing with than I think the Water Bureau has. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tom and I were talking about the stormwater side of the thing, and I said, well, you know, right off the top, they've got three different systems in the city that they're running, which is the underground injection system in East Portland, the MS4 stormwater through the stream system in Johnson Creek and on the west side here, and then the combined sewer situation. And Tom's point was, well, really, when you take a look at it in East Portland, there's maybe eight systems because we've rolled the drainage districts in, and that's another challenge for stormwater. And then where the underground water goes, which system it goes into, is another complex problem. But I really do think Director Marriott talked about what they're focused in on the individual projects. The reliability projects, those could be described in a manner that's pretty similar to the book that the Water Bureau is putting out, so that every decision maker would know what area of the city and what they were looking at and the magnitude of cost and project, and those could be laid out in that pretty similar format is the kind of thing. And I think that would help decision makers across the board make a good decision on those kind of things.
Other questions for Gordon or John? Thank you both.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. We want to save cup till after we've done both hearings? Okay, that's fine. Anyone signed up on this other than the cub folks who are here?
Just Janice Thompson had signed up.
So she'll defer to the next.
Okay. Then, unless there's anyone else to testify on this item, we'll close that public hearing and set it for second reading and then move to the